ATC is go.
Pegasus is go.
ATC is go.
Copy, S is go.
Houston flight is go.
Pilot go.
STM is go.
Safety cost is go.
SDE is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director, NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Site Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not going to stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot and Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. Tuesday night edition of the show, 1st of March. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Craig. How are you?
I'm good. I'm apprehensive.
Yeah, join the party.
Join
the party.
I'm not that apprehensive about what's going on in Ukraine right now. I mean, you and I have been following that, I think, closer than just about anybody we know. And while everything's still up in the air, and Putin's kind of going off the deep end a little bit here, you know, we've got a pretty good handle on what's happening in the moment. What's happening in the future, we have no idea. What I'm apprehensive about is tonight's State of the Union address.
I'm very apprehensive about that because, Craig, I can give you the whole State of the Union address in a nutshell.
Well, you hang on to your nutshell because we're going to get to that in a few minutes. But, you know,
oh, that's right.
Yeah, yes. I want to tell people what else we have coming up on the show tonight. You're covering the second coming of Reagan, maybe the third.
Right.
Okay, I'm covering Hillary, Biden, and the Democrat Party's impending collapse.
Oh, okay.
So we've got those two major segments coming up, but let's start in Ukraine tonight because that is all the breaking news right now. Yes. Regards Ukraine. There is a 40-plus mile-long convoy that is inching toward Kiev.
Yes. And if I was the president or, you know, someone of importance, let's say in Europe, I would suggest that post-haste, those fighter jets that have been sent over to Poland where the Ukrainian fighters are training, get those fighters up in the air ASAP and bomb the crap out of that convoy.
Well, they're all lined up. You know, I mean, they're on a highway. It's an armored convoy. So there's tanks, there's missile launchers, there's all sorts of armament in that 40 miles. And they're all packed in there. It's bumper to bumper for 40 miles.
Right.
I mean, that's a target. That's a target-rich zone is what that
exactly.
is.
Exactly. I mean, if enough bombers went in and went right down the line, they can take out that whole convoy.
You know, I would love to see that, but that's not the only convoy that we have to be worried about right now. Up near the border of Ukraine and Poland, there is another convoy working its way up there, and they're going up there to stop refugees from getting out of Ukraine and into Poland. So that means Putin has turned terrorist, and he's going after civilians.
Well, we know he's going after civilians because of what he did last night in regards to the using of cluster bombs against one of the Ukrainian cities. And it basically destroyed a government building. They still don't know yet who was or wasn't in that building. But, I mean, this has gotten to the point where Putin has to be stopped. There's no other way to say it. Whether that stopping comes from the Russian people themselves, like, you know, happens at times in basically dictatorships, or if it happens Khrushchev style, when Brezhnev gathered enough people around him who saw what Khrushchev was doing was basically bad, and they intercepted him at an airport as he was getting off a plane, and they said, it's over, you're out.
Well, different times, different people. It wasn't that Brezhnev was all that good, you know. But yeah, this is a whole different situation with Vladimir Putin at this point. It's not the old days anymore. And, you know, it's anybody's guess what might happen. The people in Russia, I would say the majority of the people in Russia are against this. And, you know, they're starting to feel the squeeze because Putin is putting every dollar into this war.
Yes, he is. Every single dollar.
You know, and the ruble over there has crashed. You know, and you know the difference now between the ruble and the dollar? It's a dollar.
It's a dollar.
I mean, that's really the difference. Yes. You know, there's all sorts of things going on. What we do know at this point is that Volodymyr Zelensky is really rallying the troops over there.
Yes, he
is. And the people, for that matter.
He is, as far as I'm concerned, he is the epitome of a true hero. He's got courage, fortitude, and guts. You know, the Americans offered him a way out of the country, he and his family, and he said, no, we're staying, we're standing, we're fighting for our country. And let me tell those people on Facebook who are putting up a nasty video of him, they obviously are not supporters of his, showing a skit from years ago when he was a professional comedian. You people should be ashamed of yourselves. This man has more courage in his little finger than you people do in your entire bodies.
You know, I saw a meme earlier today. It said three things that can be seen from space: the Grand Canyon, the Great Wall of China, and Zelensky's balls.
Oh, okay. A little vulgar, but I can understand.
But you know what they're talking about, you know? I mean, a lesser person, and I will fully admit, I thought he was going to fold when this thing started. I honestly did. I thought he's just going to cave, and that's going to be the end of it. Well, he proved me wrong, and he proved a lot of people wrong, and he's standing strong, and the people are rallying around him.
Right. Remember, I didn't think he was going to run. There was something in me that just felt there's more to this man than people think, at least up front. And it turns out I and other people were right.
Well, you know, it's an odd situation because nobody really knew that much about the guy. I mean, exactly. You know, we've seen him in a few high-level meetings. You know, we've seen him in a couple of negotiations and things. But nobody really knew that much about the guy or just what kind of resolve he was going to have.
Right. And for those also ridiculous people on Facebook and other sites who said, well, he's crooked too because he was part of the whole Burisma and Biden and Hunter thing. No, folks, he wasn't. He became president in 2019. This all happened while Obama was president back in 2014. So before you're going to make accusations against a man that is so courageous and brave, I think you need to check your facts.
Well, and, you know, I'm not going to go so far as to say that Zelensky is squeaky clean and
no,
you know, as pure as a driven snow. I mean, there's still a lot of problems over there in Ukraine. They've got their own version of the swamp, you know. Mm-hmm. But he's better than what they had. And right now, what he's doing takes precedence over anything else. He's standing tough in the face of Putin and the Russian right. army. And they're racking up some numbers. They're racking up some kills.
I think when this is all over, that remember how you and I always used to say Bibi is the world's last great statesman?
Right.
Well, I think when this is all over and done, I think we might be adding Zelensky to that.
You know, it's possible, but it's going to take time to know if he right. turns into that.
Right.
You know, and we don't know that yet. Now, speaking of BB, reminds me of Israel. Israel is now sending weapons to Ukraine.
Right. Even though they forged a relationship, a business relationship, a trade relationship, a medical relationship with Russia, Israel understands probably better than most what's going on in Ukraine.
Yeah. And, you know, they were maybe a little late to the party. A lot of other nations are sending weapons over there. But, you know, they weighed the thing out and they said, what can we do? And this is the answer. They're sending weapons. So good for them.
I don't think they were late to the party. I think they've always been working behind the scenes because.
That could be. Yeah.
Because one of the first people in were members of the Israeli Mossad. Helping to get Ukrainians well, out of the country.
The Mossad is like the wind. They're everywhere. Yeah.
They're everywhere. I mean, you can't underestimate Israel. And also remember, the Ukrainian president is Jewish. And right. he says he's proud to be Jewish. And right then and there, that has some of the holy rollers turning against him.
Well, and, you know, speaking of that, you and I were both regaled today on Facebook by people saying that Zelensky was installed as the president of Ukraine by George Soros. And my question to those people is, why would George Soros, a Nazi, install a Jew to lead Ukraine?
Exactly. people don't think things through. And I bet, and I hate to say this, but I think with some of those people that are, oh, we're all for the war, but Zelensky is bad and he's not doing anything. I think there's a little anti-Semitism in there.
I think you're right. I think there is. You know, now I'm not saying Soros hasn't meddled in Ukrainian politics and Ukrainian elections. Like right. I said, they've got their own swamp. It could sure. very well be that he was helping some of the swamp get elected back when mm-hmm. Zelensky got elected. But it just doesn't compute to me that Soros, being who and what he is, would go head over heels to install a Jew as the leader of any country.
No, not at all, because then he has to deal with the fact that Zelensky has turned out so well. That doesn't look good for Soros.
No.
You know, it makes no sense. But unfortunately, here in our own country, we are starting to see a resurgence of anti-Semitism. And if these anti-Semites haven't learned a lesson yet, here's something for them to think about.
Yeah,
Jesus was the king of the Jews. So you need to, you know, think through before you're going to say things.
Yeah, I mean, and that's part of the problem. you know, and we've seen a lot of posts, and I'm sure a lot of other people have, you know, mm-hmm. we got to pray. You know, we can't be, you know, advocating for war. We need to advocate for prayer. Well, you know, David didn't slay Goliath with a prayer. He hit him with a rock.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And you know what basically started this whole thing that Craig and I are speaking about? He put up a meme about David and Goliath, and I put up one that said, and I'm going to quote it, "Some aren't going to like what I have to say, but I'm saying it anyway. It's well and fine to pray for God to solve our problems, but we need to help ourselves for a change, as I bet God is tired of our whining, cowardliness, and refusal to deal with the tangible here and now of what are problems of our own doing. God cannot fight all our battles for us, nor should he have to. We need to be more like Ukrainian President Zelensky, who has shown more courage, bravery, and fortitude than mere prayers will ever answer. My opinion, and I stand by it." Well, that started a firestorm.
Well, it did, and you expected that it would. Mm-hmm. I certainly expected it would, mm-hmm. you know. But, you know, the more some of these people blather in those comments, the more foolish they look. So,
yes. And they what they countered this with, a number of them, including one person that I never expected this from, was that stupid skit that Zelensky did over a decade ago when he was a professional comedian.
You know, Zelensky was a comedian and an actor before he became the president. Now,
before he became a politician, yeah.
Yeah, I seem to remember a time when arguably the greatest president of our time
mm-hmm.
made a movie with a monkey.
That's right.
You know.
That's right. There were two great, in my opinion, there were two great presidents in our, let's say, generations, Ronald Reagan and Donald Trump.
Yeah, Donald Trump did not make bedtime for Bonzo.
No.
That was Reagan.
Right. So these people that are doing all of this stuff and not thinking through what they're doing, first of all, they're actually, in a way, saying without saying that we don't care what Putin is doing.
Right.
And is that really how you want to come across when Putin is sitting threatening the world with the use of nuclear weapons?
I mean, seriously, folks.
Yeah. And these are people that say they're on our side. I mean, this is insanity. But you know something, Craig? We're weeding out the people. Sometimes a crisis, you will find out who people really are through that crisis.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's unfortunate, you know, in some cases that happens, but it does happen, and, mm-hmm. and that's where we are. Now, folks, you might notice that we're not getting too terribly in-depth with our discussion on Ukraine right now. I mean, we're giving you some of the highlights of the day, but both Diane and I are writing separate articles for next Tuesday regarding what's happening in Ukraine. And the problem with writing these articles now is that things are changing by the minute.
Right. And let's say we cannot lock in our articles because we need to wait at least till Saturday to see what develops. So we're kind of writing in bits and pieces. We're covering Ukraine in its entirety. I'm doing certain things. Craig is doing other things. But the two companion articles will cover basically what's been happening since for the past 5 days. We start at the fifth day, basically, and go on from there. But it's a constant changing thing.
Well, and you know, there's going to be more stuff coming yet this week. There's going to be more stuff coming tonight, you know, because Biden's going to get up there and give his State of Confusion speech. And, you know, he can't ignore what's going on over there. So, Diane, you said you could give us the entire speech in a nutshell. Well, now's the time to get your nutshell out, put it on the table, and let us know what he's going to say tonight.
First, he's going to say, I cured COVID. No more masks. They're all going to be maskless. No more masks. I am wonderful. Look what I did. Then he's going to move on to, I resurrected the economy that was destroyed by Trump, and it's wonderful now, and everything is rosy. Forget inflation. Forget gas prices. I am wonderful. Then he's going to have one of his, you know, moments where he doesn't remember where he is. Then he's going to get back on and say some sentences that make absolutely no sense whatsoever. He's going to look at his watch and go, time for my pudding. Nighty-night, folks.
Okay, so that's what you think's coming tonight. Okay.
And I say that now, in jest, but...
Look, I don't disagree with you, but I think there's going to be more to it than that. I do agree that he is going to claim to have beat COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And that everything can go back to normal now. Now, he's going to be telling that to people who've went back to normal a year and a half, almost 2 years ago. Okay, so, you know, who's going to be shocked by that, right? There won't be rejoicing in the streets. Hell, blue states have been doing this now. They've been cutting off their mask mandates and all that crap. They've been doing that now for 3 weeks. So, right. You know, everybody's going to kind of yawn at that. There's a lot of things going on in this country that I don't think Biden wants to talk about tonight. He cannot put a positive spin on gas prices or inflation. That stuff is out of control. He cannot talk about getting tough on our southern border because that situation's out of control. Mm-hmm. He can't talk about any policy in his 1 year and month and a half, whatever it's been, that he has occupied the Oval Office, the only thing he's gotten through is the infrastructure bill, and we haven't seen diddly squat being done with any of that money either.
Well, you do have to remember one thing he will say tonight. He's not going to allow, at least for us, the no-fly zone over Ukraine,
right,
while at the same time, he probably will try to take credit for the sanctions and for everything working
right
out as according to his plan.
Right. Now, his plan is Obama's plan, and the way you know that is because Joe Biden has been leading from behind.
Exactly.
Okay, everybody else is putting these sanctions in place, and then Biden goes along with it. All right,
mm-hmm.
So, you know, yeah, he will get up there and talk about that. I think he's going to devote a gratuitous amount of time to the situation in Ukraine because he cannot talk about other things. You'll never hear the words tonight, build back better.
I agree with you on that.
You will never hear that brought up tonight because that's a disaster. Now, I do expect that he's going to go off on members of the squad tonight and talk about supporting police, okay, because they got to get on the right side of that. Nobody's going to believe him because the entire Democrat Party in blue cities and blue states, they've been all about defunding the police, and he cannot get up there with a straight face, although he'll have a blank stare. But he can't get up there and actually expect people to believe that the Democrat Party is supporting the police. And I'll guarantee you one thing, the police sure aren't going to believe that.
Well, you know what's interesting about that is one of the rebuttals, supposedly, tonight will be Rashid Tlaib, you know, the kind of sums it up.
We're going to impeach the MF.
Yeah, she's kind of pissed at Biden, and she's going to be rebutting him on a number of issues.
I think you'll I think you'll hear about climate change.
Oh, please. You mean the weather? I can look out my window and know the weather.
Well, I know that. You know that. Everybody listening knows that. Mm-hmm. But I think he's going to try to appease them in some way because he couldn't get Build Back Better, and Build Back Better was nothing but the Green New Deal. So he's going to try and soothe them a little bit by talking about the dangers of climate change. You know, I'll tell you what. Russia's going to mess things up. China's going to mess things up. Iran's going to mess things up far before the weather messes anything up.
That's true. Well, do you remember a few days ago when John Kerry, I mean, this was all over the internet, whether it's true or not, I can't swear to it. Oh. But what the articles were saying is John Kerry actually emailed or whatever Putin and said, don't let what's going on now in Ukraine take your focus off climate change.
Now, I don't know if he emailed that to Putin or if he emailed it to people in the current administration, but he did make that statement and send that email. I don't know who he sent it to, but yeah.
No, these articles that I saw, and I even have one of them, was he sent one to Putin.
I'm sure he sent it to everybody on his damn mail list, on his email list.
Thank God we're not on that list.
But yeah, he's more worried about climate change than he is about Putin putting his nuclear forces on high alert.
Yeah. And that's pretty scary, folks. No matter what is happening, you've got to keep in the back of your mind when you're dealing with someone that obviously is not all there at this point in their life. You don't know what it would take for him to cross that line and press that red button, especially since we don't know how that works in the USSR. Here in the United States, yeah, the president has the red button, but he has to go through a series of steps before it's allowed to be pressed. Right. We don't know how that's done in Russia.
Yeah. And I mean, John Kerry's got to get a clue here. If the nukes actually start flying, and I'm not saying they will.
Right.
Okay. But if the nukes start flying, the least of our concerns is going to be the emissions from the tailpipe of our cars.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, I mean, good Lord.
I know. People have to understand this whole situation, what's going on. It's beyond just Ukraine because it affects everybody. Biden is also going to be prepared tonight, from what I was told, that he's also going to be speaking about how we're going to have to tighten our belts.
Right.
Because of what's happening in Ukraine. There's just something wrong about all of this.
I'll tell you, the price of beer is going to go up.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something else. Unless Biden stops buying oil from Russia, and we're hearing conflicting reports, will he or won't he stop it? But unless he absolutely stops buying oil from Russia, we've got to get over the fact that our buying Russian oil is helping to Russia fund their war on Ukraine.
100%.
Yep.
I agree with you. Folks, coming up in about 30 minutes, I'm going to be talking about Hillary, Biden, and the Democrat Party's impending collapse. But when we come back from this bottom of the hour break and a couple of station IDs, Diane's got it with the second coming of Reagan. Maybe the third. So stay with us. There's lots more coming on Right Side Patriots after this.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sori from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's long-time Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sori at the Patriot Factor. If you miss any part of tonight's show, all you got to do is look for us all over social media. Tomorrow we'll have the podcast up. Thanks to Podbean.
Yes, and our pod people.
You know, I got to tell folks what you and I were just talking about during the break. Okay. Diane's upset because she's going to miss Star Trek The Next Generation tonight because she has to watch Jar Jar Binks deliver the State of Confusion address.
Yeah, and he'll probably put me to sleep less than halfway through.
I think I've just become the first person to equate Joe Biden with Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah. Oh, God, that poor creature. And I don't know. Uncle Joe.
I feel like I've insulted the stupidest character ever in Star Wars, but nonetheless.
Right, you did it anyway.
I did it anyway. All right, Diane, so you have taken on the second coming of Reagan, maybe the third.
Right, and let's start with this quote. Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. That was said by President Reagan during his first inaugural address back in 1981. In my lifetime, I have been honored to vote for two of the greatest modern-day U.S. presidents, Ronald Reagan and Donald J. Trump. And while obviously I cannot vote for President Reagan again, I can once more vote for President Trump, as the nomination is his if he does decide to run again. And might I add, that Donald Trump did more good for our country and for the world in his single term as president than those who were president between Reagan's time and his time. Two quite unorthodox presidents who share political commonalities, with first and foremost being that both men put America and Americans first, while at the same time heralding American exceptionalism and triumphs. Ronald Reagan truly loved this country, as Donald Trump still does, with both believing in America's greatness being an integral part of their very being. And neither man was part of the so-called D.C. establishment, as neither held federal office before becoming president, nor did they put up with Democrat partisan-driven nonsense. And like Trump, Reagan excelled at campaigning, with Reagan being deemed the great communicator while still on the campaign trail, while Trump brought in the crowds like no one before him or probably even after him ever will. And as president Both these men advocated for simple yet workable solutions to complex domestic and foreign problems. Trump excelled economically. He was and still is a highly successful businessman who knew how the economic end of the business of government should be run. In fact, under his leadership, jobs numbers soared, especially for minorities, with record tax cuts for all. And Craig, Trump was the man who started the ball rolling towards long-sought-for Middle East peace via he and his administration's brokering of the Abraham Accords. And Ronald Reagan, a strong-willed man of character, did what most thought was impossible, as it was he who brought the Soviet Union down with but a few simple words said at the Berlin Wall on June 12, 1987. Quote, Mr. Gorbachev, open this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
You know, it's kind of an odd thing to compare Reagan and Trump, right? But there are a lot of things that the two had in common. And one of those things was the fact that Jimmy Carter brought us Ronald Reagan, while Barack Hussein Obama brought us Donald Trump. Different times, different men, different attitudes. But as the left became further and further to the left, it required somebody further and further to the right. That's how we got Trump. But that's not where the similarities end, right? There are other things.
Yes. You got to remember, folks, that both men were former Democrats who became conservative political popularists, being champions of America's blue-collar workers and heroes to those in America's heartland. But they, more importantly, were men who actually listened to what we the people had to say. And not to be forgotten is that both men were against illegal immigration and foreclosing of our southern border. But above all else, it is my opinion that under President Reagan's and President Trump's stewardship, America was respected on the world stage. America was listened to, admired, and to a degree rightfully feared, for we were the world's number one superpower, with our military surpassed by no other. In fact, while Trump was in office, even Vladimir Putin knew not to cross the so-called red line. But sadly, that has now all changed, for America has become a laughingstock both at home and abroad, for with Joe Biden as president, we and the world are bearing witness to his playing political checkers while Putin rules what really is a chessboard, especially in regards to Ukraine's future. And so America is teetering on a dangerous precipice. What with the 2020 midterms, I should say 2024 midterms, fast approaching. For not only is this election critically important for our country, but it is so for the world as well. A world without counted upon American military strength and superiority, a world where America hangs our allies and friends out to dry, that is not the America we patriots nor our founders and framers ever envisioned our future to be. In fact, if the numerous wrongs committed by the Biden administration, which includes the stack of executive orders he blindly signed on day one, are not rescinded in November, we likely will be facing a future that sees President Reagan's famous words, America is a shining city upon a hill whose beacon light guides freedom-loving people everywhere, being but empty words of what we once were, for America will no longer be respected, trusted, or believed in at all. And sadly, right now, we are indeed very close to that point. But this scenario does not have to be, for on November 8th, we do have one last chance to start setting wrongs right, with November 2024 then completing that job. And while it seems that come the midterms, we Republicans will be taking back both the House and the Senate, we cannot ignore the fact that voter fraud will play, or at least try to play, a big part in that election. Remember, Craig, most Democrats will say and do anything and everything to hold on to power. After all, they do so relish in lying, cheating, and stealing, as long as their pockets are lined, never mind the fact that they've successfully turned voter fraud into an art form, something President Trump, unfortunately, knows all too well.
Well, okay, so let's break out the crystal ball here and maybe take a look at what we've got coming up. The timelines, and I use that word plural, are such that we need to show a steady progression, don't we?
Right, right. Okay, so here, just for argument's sake, let's assume that Republicans have indeed taken back the House and the Senate, and that America is set upon the road of correcting Biden's wrongs. And with Biden now having been rendered politically impotent to do any more harm, the Democrats will set their sights on 2024, where they hope to flip everything back again. And here is where things become critical, for we must choose the right candidate, a candidate who cannot only bring in all Republican votes, but independents and, disgusted with Biden's socialist agenda, moderate Democrats as well. And know that the voter fraud being committed will be tenfold in 2024. Now, as previously stated, President Trump is sure to get the Republican nomination if he chooses to run. For the fact is, the 2020 election was stolen. Yes, stolen from him. And the world would be, I should say, let me go back and correct here. The fact is that if the 2020 election wasn't stolen, yes, stolen from him, we in the world would be facing a different scenario than we are today. Amongst other things, our southern border would be secure, America's economy would be thriving, inflation would not be at an all-time high, crime numbers would be down, not up, and ridiculous mask mandates and COVID passports would most assuredly be gone. And might I add that Vladimir Putin would not be staging his Ukraine show. Kim Jong-un would not be test firing more rockets, and China would not dare think of invading Taiwan. It's all about strength, and as president, Donald J. Trump made America stronger after the disastrous 8 years of Obama's apology tour. Trump had to put up with a lot of nonsense, probably more than any other president has, and he truly does deserve a chance to finish what he started, as in turning America right again, making our beloved America strong again. And Craig, of course, I and my family would again vote for him. No question about that.
You know, unfortunately, a lot of people are looking at 2022 and 2024 as the be-all, end-all. But you and I, when we delve into these things, we always look at the bigger picture, and you've done that in this particular op-ed. You're looking even past 2024.
Right. Well, here is something just as important as Trump possibly heading the 2024 ticket, his running mate. We all know what a backstabber Mike Pence turned out to be. In my opinion, he's a traitor, not just to Trump, but to our country as well. I knew he'd be troubled from the beginning when he made that ridiculous statement that he would not even have a one-on-one business lunch with a woman, since that woman wasn't his wife. Wearing one's religious dogma on their sleeve just isn't my cup of tea. Never was, never will be. And while Pence, thankfully, isn't even an option at this point, the who it would be and why is critical for Trump, for, as per the Constitution, he could only serve one more term with his VP then running for a hoped-for 8-year term. Simply, if Trump does decide to run again, he will need a strong man, yes, man, by his side, a man who shares his beliefs in America exceptionalism, as well as in American military strength. For the next president will have to rebuild our military after Biden's, read Obama here, Obama's demanding that they be woke. And it will have to be a man who knows, just like Reagan knew, that government is the problem, not the solution to our problems. A man of strong moral character who will buck the system when need be to do what's right for the good of the people. A man loyal to Trump and his all-important America First philosophy. And I believe that the best man to complement President Trump as his vice president is the very man who has proven himself both a leader and a man who has rightly bucked both the system and the powers that be, especially during the COVID scamdemic. And that man is my great Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, a man now respected even by many Democrats. And if anything, God forbid, would have happened to Trump, DeSantis could step in a heartbeat, keeping both the policies and visions of Trump intact, something most critical in today's dubious times. And when Trump's now single term was over, DeSantis himself could then run for president, thereby extending Republican time in office to 12 years if he were to be elected. And if he picked as his VP someone like South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem, the Republican hold on the presidency could actually run for 20 years straight if she were then to run for and become America's first woman president. 20 years without having to worry about America becoming a socialist nation. 20 years of doing right by the American people. 20 years of being respected and honored on the world stage. 20 years would give Democrats plenty of time to once again become the party of JFK, a time when Democrats and Republicans worked together for the good of our country, and where American exceptionalism and ingenuity shone bright. But what if Trump decides not to run again? What happens then? Would a candidate free-for-all be the order of the day? I sure hope not, for just such a scenario was what allowed Joe Biden to become the Democrat nominee. Here I would hope that Donald Trump would himself pass the torch to Ron DeSantis, endorse him, campaign for him, and do everything to help get DeSantis elected with Kristi Noem as the VP standing by his side. Either scenario works for me. I hope, dear reader and listener, it works for you too. Case closed.
I got to let people in on something, but before I do that, I'm going to let people know where they can get this op-ed. You can get it two places. You can go to Diane's blog at thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, pick up the link, share it everywhere, or you can go over to rspradio1.com and get the link from there and share it everywhere. But here's what I want people to understand. Okay, and this is important. Okay, Diane and I both got ahead of ourselves. Diane, you wrote this piece 2 weeks ago. Okay? Now, do you know why that's important that I bring that up? I'll tell you.
Because of CPAC?
Because of CPAC. This was written before CPAC, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, CPAC, at the close of CPAC, they run a straw poll. Yes. Donald Trump came in first. Ron DeSantis came in second.
Yes.
Okay, those are your two picks here. And you wrote this before CPAC even started.
Yes, absolutely. And I will add something. While I would love to see a DeSantis-Kristi Noem ticket in let's say, 2028, I would not be objectionable. There's only one other person besides Kristi Noem who I really would support, let's put it that way, if they ran with DeSantis, and that is Mike Pompeo.
You know, Mike Pompeo is a strong contender if he wants to get in.
I know.
You know, I mean, he really is. I would love to see Mike Pompeo back in his old job.
Yes, so would I. And I would also like to see, enough time will have passed for water to be put under the bridge. I would like to see Nikki Haley in some position in the cabinet.
And I think she would accept it. I really do. You know, she's making noise again, too. She's disgusted with what the Democrats are doing right now. She's had it with Putin. And, you know, let's face it. I mean, she and Trump had I don't want to say a falling out, but they kind of butted heads a little bit.
Yeah.
But Nikki Haley, when she was the ambassador to the UN, she didn't let those cretins get away with anything.
No. And she stood up to the Muslim men from the, you know, the ambassadors from the Muslim countries, all men. And very few women would ever be respected in the capacity she was by Muslim men.
They were scared of her.
But they were scared shitless of her.
They really were. I mean, yes. You know, because she was tough. She was tough as nails.
Yes.
And she plant her feet on the ground. She'd tell them, no. No, right. You're not going to get away with this. And,
right. You
know, and she meant it. And she backed it up. So, yeah, I wouldn't have any problem there either. I would love to see her back in the cabinet.
But my first choice is Kristi Noem, if DeSantis was to run. And you know what? If Trump did run and insisted on a woman, Kristi Noem would have my support there too.
Well, yeah, and I'll tell you something about Kristi Noem, and you probably don't hear much about this in the national news, and all the way down there in Florida, you wouldn't hear about these things, but you know, South Dakota is my neighbor to the north, and I mean just barely to the north. They're about 20 miles north of me. She's getting a raft of crap right now from some of the Republican establishment in South Dakota.
Yes.
And, you know, it's because she dares to stand up and do what's right for the people and not play the silly political games.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so she's got a primary challenger by the name of Hoggard, and he is a House member in the South Dakota House of Representatives right now. And he's running against her, and I guarantee you, he can't hold a candle to her.
No, she is one of the few women that I could see someday becoming the first duly elected woman president.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she's tough. She's plain spoken. She's, you know, she stands her ground. She's got no use for federal government interference in people's lives.
Right.
You know, I mean, she's good. Now, I met a woman who's running for governor here in my state of Nebraska who is a lot like Kristi Noem. Now, I don't know that Teresa Thibodeau is going to be able to win in this election. I mean, she's got a host of primary challengers in this election, and I don't know how deep Teresa Thibodeau's political pockets are. I don't know how much money she has to spend on campaigning and ads and, you know, all of that kind of thing. But I got to meet Teresa Thibodeau a couple of weeks ago, and I was really, really impressed with her. And I see Kristi Noem in her. I see some Ron DeSantis in her. Mm-hmm. And Nebraska could do a whole lot worse, and probably will, if we don't nominate Teresa Thibodeau. So.
Well, you know, I'm going to go out on a limb here. There's someone I would like to see in some position in either the Trump or a DeSantis presidency. And it's someone that, while this person is technically a Democrat, I think this person will eventually leave the party. And I'm not talking Joe Manchin here, folks.
I know who you're talking about.
I'm talking Tulsi Gabbard.
Yep.
Because she has been out there nailing the Democrats, nailing Biden. Remember, she's ex-military. And I'm of the belief, And even though I know Trump wasn't military, I still strongly believe that if you're going to be in position of power in this country, if you're going to be commander in chief, you really should have military experience.
Well, she's got that. She was in the Air Force.
Yes. A congresswoman. She tried to run for president. She failed. She is probably the only Democrat I would even consider putting in maybe not a cabinet position, but an advisory position.
I don't know that I'd even have a problem with her in the cabinet. I'll be honest with you.
Where in the cabinet. Obviously not anything to do with economics, because her leanings are a bit Democrat there.
Well, they are, but I'll tell you what.
She's right with us.
She is so disgusted with the Democrat Party and their agenda right now. I mean, she's had it. And, you know, she's on Fox News every other night.
And she ain't going away, folks.
Oh, no. Oh, no. She's not going away. And I'll tell you, from a foreign policy standpoint, she could scare the ever-loving shit out of some of our enemies.
Exactly.
You know?
And you know, Joe Manchin, don't count him out, because, again, he's done something very good. He's not happy with Trump picking a Supreme Court justice on race and gender, because that in itself is racist.
Right. It just is.
It just is.
It just is.
So let's just see what happens, you know. 2022, guys, we must take back the House and the Senate, and it must be by a big enough margin where the Democrats cannot do anything. That's the only way Biden and Harris become politically impotent. And Pelosi will be out as an added bonus.
That is a bonus.
Yes.
Absolutely. Folks, you can get Diane's op-ed two places. The name of it, The Second Coming of Reagan, maybe the third. You can find it at thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, or you can go over to rspradio1.com. Either way, get the link, hang on to it, but share it. Get it everywhere. You know, there's a lot of information in this article that by later this summer, and after the election in November, you're going to find out just about how spot on I think Diane is on this.
Yeah. Either way, Trump, DeSantis, no, they've got my 100% support.
Yep, mine too. So, you know, we'll wait and see what happens. I expect that Trump will announce probably... I would say he would probably wait until after the primary season, you know, which is coming. I don't know. For us, it's May 10th here in Nebraska, and I know it's in May for most places. So, you know, he'll probably wait till after that, but I think he'll make the announcement pretty quick after that.
I think so, too. And I'm not convinced enough yet which way he's going to go.
No, I, you know, we'll have to wait and see, but.
Right.
You know, he owned CPAC last week, so.
Yes, he did.
You know,
and he let Biden have it.
Yeah, oh, he let a lot of people have it.
Yes, he did.
He really did, and that was great. You know, so, yeah, and if you haven't seen his speech, go to YouTube and find it. It's fantastic.
Yeah, and folks, you need to get over the mean tweets, because I don't know about you, but I'd rather have mean tweets than another Democrat as president.
I could use me a mean tweet or two right about now.
Oh, I sure could, directed right at Biden.
You know, bring it on. That's what I say. Folks, we got to take a break. We're at the top of the hour. We've got one segment left tonight, and we're going to be talking about Hillary, Biden, and the Democrat Party's impending collapse. Stay with us. There's more to come on Right Side Patriots after this.
Hi, guys. Diane Sori from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out the National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sori at the Patriot Factor. We're getting you through the Tuesday night show. State of the Onion coming up in about an hour.
And it's a smelly onion.
We're not going to be covering that live. We'll cover elections live, but we're not covering that crap.
No.
You know, I mean,
not when it comes from Biden, that's for sure.
At least one of us will be watching it tonight.
I'll be watching it, but I can't guarantee he won't put me to sleep.
That's what I mean. At least one of us.
Or he might make me so angry that I'll want to throw something at the TV.
At least one of us will be watching that. Folks, if you miss any part of tonight's show, just look for us everywhere on social media. Tomorrow we'll get a link to Podbean up for you so you can go back and catch whatever you happen to miss. We're still having a few issues. Some of the optics on the RSP Radio 1 website went wonky, and we're still trying. We've got our crack IT staff on it.
And, yeah, but the funny thing is that WordPress, who the site is run through, they have admitted it's their fault what happened, but they have no idea how to fix it.
Right.
The site is still working beautiful. I mean, all the links are working, the article's working, everything is working. But the main front with the picture and the times, the picture's the size of a postage stamp, and there's this big black box that no one knows how to get rid of at this point.
Yeah, and so we're having a few issues there, and so until we get that fixed, we're just going to put the Podbean link up for you. Everything's there. Our articles are there. The news, all the news pages, they're all there, and everything's fine there. But just for the Podbean link for now until we get that fixed. And our crack IT staff, they get up at the crack of dawn every day and take this on. So
you mean more like the crack of noon?
I wasn't going to say that, but, you know, but truer words have never been spoken. But, you know how computer people are, folks.
Yeah, they're geeks.
They're just a little odd sometimes. That's all. That's all, you know. All right, so this is the final segment tonight. Hillary, Biden, and the Democrat Party's impending collapse. Now, to fully understand where we are regarding Durham, the Durham investigation, and the fake Russian collusion mess, we first have to remember where we've been. And to that end, we have to go all the way back to when the first investigation into it got started. Now, that was Robert Mueller's investigation. And when that started, Adam Schiff and the rest of the liberal Marxists were bound and determined to protect the special counsel to give Mueller the opportunity to bury Trump. Now, the problem for Schiff back then was the same problem the liberal media propagandists had and the same problem Hillary and her campaign had for the rest of the liberal Marxist mob. They knew the whole story was a complete and utter fabrication. They knew it. They all knew it. But they all went along with it because they hated Trump. They fabricated the Steele dossier, used the fabricated dossier four times to get FISA warrants to look for dirt that they knew didn't exist. They launched a Russian collusion impeachment with a parade of witnesses who admitted under oath that they had witnessed nothing, morphed the Russian collusion impeachment into some sort of manufactured Ukraine phone call, alleged strong-arm move, supposedly by Trump, and all the while buried the strong-arm tactic Biden bragged about on video when he got the Ukrainian prosecutor fired because that prosecutor had the real dirt on Hunter Biden. That dirt on Hunter, along with the video of Joe bragging about the strong-arming of the Ukrainians, was also dirt that should have buried Joe Biden. That's only part of the issue. It all started when it became obvious that Trump was the only candidate that could beat Hillary Clinton, and so the Clinton campaign and Hillary knew they needed some sort of an edge. To that end, they hired an internet company to supply them with communications and documents from the Trump campaign. That was stuff like emails, searches, communications, documents, and the like that was the property of the Trump campaign. So, who was that internet company? Well, Special Counsel John Durham, in his latest court filing, referred to Tech Executive One's employer and Internet Company One. But who exactly are they? Well, Tech Executive One is Rodney Jaffe, who used his company's access to non-public government domain name systems, DNS, data through a pending cybersecurity contract he had with the U.S. government and intel agencies. Internet Company One, so labeled in the Durham filing, is Neustar Inc. That's Jaffe's employer at the time. Diane, Rodney Jaffe, the senior vice president and security chief of technology at Neustar, was the winner of the 2013 FBI Director's Award for Cybersecurity, a guy with government and intel agency contracts that was hired by Hillary's campaign to mine through candidate Donald Trump's computers looking for anything Hillary might be able to use against Trump to gain the edge in the 2016 race. Sadly, and frustratingly for Hillary, not even Jaffe, with his background and his capabilities, could find a piece of lint, much less any dirt to use against Trump, and Hillary lost that race.
Well, as we all know, Hillary did not like that she lost the race.
Oh.
So, you know, sort of as maybe appeasement, if you will, and out of fear of getting caught, this Jaffe character had to stay kind of close with Hillary because, you know, Hillary's track record of people who cross her isn't that great. You know, what is it up to, 96 now? I'm sorry, 86?
Yeah,
sort
that
of bodies following along.
That list runs deep, about 6 feet deep, actually.
Yes.
Okay, so here's the deal. Jaffe remained on Hillary's payroll after Trump was in the Oval Office, and he continued to snoop through Trump's presidential servers, still looking for the dirt that could be used as revenge in an impeachment trial. So far, three people have been indicted on federal charges. Kevin Kleinsmith was indicted in August of 2020. Michael Sussman was indicted in September of 21, and Igor Danchenko on November 4, 2021. Kleinsmith is a former FBI attorney who was indicted for Crossfire Hurricane. That's the original Russia collusion hoax. Michael Sussman was one of Hillary Clinton's attorneys who was a cybersecurity lawyer and was indicted for his role in lying to FBI General Counsel James Baker at a meeting in 2016 by providing information he knew to be false about data that appeared to connect the Trump Organization with the Alpha Bank of Russia. Also, part of the original Russia collusion hoax. Igor Danchenko is a Russian citizen and a U.S. resident who helped to manufacture the Steele dossier. Now, here's where things get really interesting. Michael Sussman was a cybersecurity attorney and one of Hillary's attorneys. Rodney Jaffe was senior vice president and security chief technology officer at Neustar Inc. and the winner of the 2013 FBI Director's Award for cybersecurity and pending cybersecurity contracts that he had with the U.S. government and intel agencies were in play. Hillary once dirt on Trump. Sussman, one of her attorneys, hires Jaffe. And guess who Jaffe's attorney is? Michael Sussman. But it gets better. Just days after Hillary lost to Trump in 2016, according to the Durham indictment of Michael Sussman, Jaffe emailed somebody and said, and I quote, "I was tentatively offered the top of cybersecurity job by the Democrats when it looked like they'd win. I definitely would not take the job under Trump," unquote. Now, you have three people with an axe to grind, and all three are grinding the same axe. Hillary wants revenge. Sussman wants to get even with Trump for beating his boss, and Jaffe knew he would not be offered a job by Trump. Diane Sussman lied to the FBI and told them that he was not representing any client when he presented false documents to get the FISA warrants. He was representing Hillary Clinton, but I'm pretty sure the FBI already knew that because the FBI and James Comey helped Hillary pay for the Steele dossier.
Yeah. You know, Jaffe is a very strange character in his own right. You know, the fact that he was being paid by Hillary. But wasn't there a possibility that even our intel agencies knew about this all along but kept quiet?
Well, yeah, I think they had to. Look, the fact that Jaffe had pending government contracts with our intel agencies, and because he was already being represented by Sussman, tells me that there is a pretty darn good chance that our intel agencies were in the know when it came to Jaffe being paid by the Clinton campaign to spy on Trump's campaign and on his presidency. Obviously, the U.S. intel agencies knew that Trump was being hacked. At the very least, they had to know it once he was the president, because part of their job is to prevent such hacking attacks. Mm-hmm. And yet, they did nothing. Remember, Comey was in on the whole dossier scam, and so too was the CIA. It is inconceivable that they had no clue that the sitting president was having his servers hacked. Who else outside of the intel agencies knew? Obviously, Hillary had to know exactly what was going on, as her campaign was paying for the Steele dossier. As inconceivable as it is to believe that the intel agencies didn't know about the hacking of Trump's servers, both during the 2016 campaign and after, when he was in the White House, it's just as inconceivable that Hillary, who was never a bystander in her own campaign, didn't know about it. After all, her attorneys were in on it, so why wouldn't she be in on it too? Furthering that line of deduction, Hillary's campaign manager, her communications director, and her foreign policy advisor are all mentioned in the Sussman indictment as knowing of the Steele dossier Russian collusion hoax. And that foreign policy advisor was none other than Jake Sullivan, who is now Joe Biden's national security advisor, who is supposedly handling the Russia-Ukraine hoax. Well, isn't that convenient? You can almost bet that Obama chose Sullivan so that he would have an inside man should the prospect of the roots of the hoax and the depth of it ever float back to the service. Sullivan is not under indictment, at least not yet. So, Diane, who else was dangling by a thread as the Durham probe continues? Well, if Jake Sullivan was in the know, it's a pretty fair bet that his former boss was in the know. Sullivan used to be Barack Hussein Obama's deputy assistant to the president and vice president's national security advisor. And who was the VP back then? Well, none other than Joe Biden, who was in this whole thing up to his neck.
Well, you know what I find really funny as time goes on? More and more of the players in this hoax are starting to sing like the proverbial canary in a mine.
You know, they really are. And that's bad news for the liberal Marxists that are behind all this. The Russian collusion hoax and the spying on the Trump campaign and Trump as president is that more and more of those people are now cooperating with the Durham investigation. And that means, like you said, they're singing an unhappy song for those deeply involved. In fact, James Baker, the former FBI general counsel, is reportedly cooperating and could well be called to testify against Sussman. Mm-hmm. And according to the release by Durham a couple of weeks ago, the above-referenced former FBI Assistant Director for Counterintelligence, possibly one Bill Priestep, could be called as a witness, too. In 2018, the FBI counterintelligence expert Priestep informed Congress that the FBI did not spy on the Trump campaign, but did investigate possible ties to Russia beginning on August 10, 2016. It's more than a fair bet that Priestep knows far more than he told Congress in 2018. And guess who else knew that the Trump campaign was being spied upon and that Trump as president was being spied upon? Trump himself knew, and the liberal propagandist media did their level best to deny that they had to know that it was true. Now, I've got embedded in the blog at thenationalpatriot.com a video of Trump, and this goes back to the 2020 campaign. He's sitting down with 60 Minutes and Leslie Stahl. He talks about the spying in this short clip. She denies that there's any evidence of it. Well, exactly. Guess what? That 60 Minutes interview was done in October of 2020, less than a month before the 2020 election, and Trump eventually became so pissed off that he got up and walked out of the interview early. He simply was not about to suffer liars and propagandists easily. When Trump called the Russian collusion hoax a witch hunt, he was right. When he called out Hunter Biden and Joe Biden for their corruption, he was right. When he called out the spying on his campaign and on his presidency by Hillary and the Biden regime, he was right. And when Trump denied any involvement in what transpired on January 6th, he was right about that, too. Well, guess what? I highly suspect that if we ever get to the bottom of what transpired in that 2020 election and how a guy who rarely, if ever, left his basement and never campaigned pulled off a win, if we could ever get to the bottom of those Dominion machines and the liberal Marxists in those blue states who barred Republican poll watchers, destroyed evidence, refused to turn the machines over to the attorneys, and all the rest of it, we would discover that Donald Trump was right about all of that, too. Finally, there's this. Hillary Clinton is making noise that would indicate that she's planning one more run at the White House in 2024 because even she knows that Biden is unreelectable. But because of what we now know of her Russian ties, not only during the 2016 campaign, but because she and Bill had been the recipients of cloaked pay-to-play deals with the Russians for years, she is also unelectable. Add in the current situation between Russia and Ukraine, and consider that Hillary, while the Secretary of State, helped to engineer the sale of 20% of U.S. uranium to Russia, after which Russia gave $145 million to the Clinton Foundation and paid Bill a boatload of money for a speaking event, and you have the torpedo that will sink Hillary's planned campaign canoe. No amount of spin, divert and deflect, or trying to project their own malfeasance onto Donald Trump or onto the Republican Party can save Biden, Hillary, or the Democrat Party now, and there's not a rug anywhere on earth big enough to sweep it all under in the hope that nobody will notice it. While Durham has been painfully slow in exposing the truth, he is being deliberate and thorough, for that matter, in building the case. While we should never expect to see any of the main actors in prison, we can rest easier knowing that their political futures and the legacies they had will soon be relegated to the trash heap of history. Bring on the 2022 midterms and 2024. Suddenly, there is a shining light on the hill at the end of a very dark tunnel.
Craig, let me say one thing about this. When you say we probably won't see anyone arrested, if we get the House, if we get the Senate, and this report is locked up with a neat little bow on it, I'm not so sure that there won't be arrests, that there won't be jail time.
I would like to believe you, but I can't, and I'll tell you why. We would be relying on people who are so deeply in bed with the liberal Marxist agenda, and I'm talking about activist liberal judges, who cases like this would have to come up before, because Congress can't convict anybody. Congress can't send anybody to jail. They can hold hearings all day and all night, but they can't send anybody to jail. No,
the Senate can.
No, the Senate cannot arrest people. They cannot put people on trial. They cannot convict people. You know, they can impeach a president,
right?
But that's all they can do. Because the swamp is the swamp, and it runs deeper than even we believed 4 or 5 years ago. There are, you know, what we've got here. What we've got with Hillary and the spying business and all of this stuff, we've got federal laws that have been broken, okay, shattered, right? So that makes everybody who's responsible for that, and that would include Hillary, could very well include Joe Biden, could very well include Barack Hussein Obama, Jake Sullivan, Jaffe, you know, you name it, Sussman, you name it, right? The problem is, while they are criminally, I believe, and I'm alleging this, I can't prove it because I don't have the evidence, right? I don't have it in front of me. But I'm alleging that they are criminally involved. The problem is, I think we have criminals within the system that will protect them.
Oh, of course, criminals protecting criminals. But what I would like to see more than anything else in this Durham report is if he can find the link from Hillary to Obama ordering this all. Because remember, Hillary was supposed to be his third term in office. He failed.
Right.
So there's payback wanted on his part. I would love to see Durham connect Obama to all this.
I would love to see it. I hope it happens. But, you know, people that cross Hillary Clinton, like you said before, you know, that list runs about 6 feet deep, if you get my drift.
I thought it was over 80, but...
Well, no, I'm saying it is over 80 people, but I'm saying the list runs 6 feet deep, and as in depth of a grave.
Right, yeah.
You know, and it's going to take somebody to start singing, and I mean singing an aria at the opera to get those people
in. But it has to be somebody of name.
Yes, I agree. But the fact that all of this is coming out, this is why I say at the end of the commentary, the fact that all of this is coming out, it's trickling out, it's taking forever, it's frustrating. But the truth...
It's very frustrating. But you know, Craig, is it something that we all didn't know from day one?
Well, it is. It is. We all knew it, okay? Right. But these are the dots that are being connected. And
right.
Durham,
right.
being deliberate as he is and as thorough as he is in doing this, even though it's slow, painfully slow and frustrating... The truth is coming out, and while I don't expect to see the main players wind up in orange jumpsuits and behind prison bars, their legacies will forever be destroyed by this.
Look, Hillary is delusional right now in her own right if she thinks that she can get the nomination again.
Well, who else do they have to run?
But then again, Democrats are delusional enough to elect it, you know, elect her as their nominee or nominate her as their nominee because their thinking is, I don't know anymore.
The problem is, who else do they have? Yeah,
they have the squad.
They're not going to nominate one of those idiots. They can't get one of those idiots elected. There's no way. No, they're out of people. They've run out of people.
Yeah, but you forgot who is head honcho of the squad.
Oh, I know who the head honcho is. Okay.
Who do you think it is?
Well, Obama's heading up the whole thing.
No, head honcho of the squad, Bernie Sanders.
Well, Bernie will probably run again if he's still fogging a mirror.
He's actually younger than Biden.
Yippee.
I know.
You know, I mean, they literally, the liberal Marxists have nobody left to run. And, right. and that's the problem. You know, the independents are done with them. They're bleeding Hispanic voters. A lot of black voters are leaving.
Right.
Okay, and moderate Democrats are through with this nonsense. They got nobody left to run.
The only one they have left to run is Joe Manchin.
And he won't do it.
I don't think he'll do it either. I think he's very happy where he is.
Well, folks, look, you can get this commentary two places, thenationalpatriot.com. That's my blog. You can grab the link there, share it everywhere. Or you go to rspradio1.com, get the link there and share it everywhere. It doesn't matter. Diane's op-ed is at thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com and rspradio1.com.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple great ways to get your hands on an op-ed and a commentary, and then share.
Yes. And so, Craig, we got to get ready to cover, God, the most boring hour and a half ever of our lives. But, folks, I want you to notice when they pan on Jill Biden, she was allowed a certain amount of guests. One of the guests that she had is one of this country's leading proponents of critical race theory.
There you go. The agenda
shows you
rears
what kind of night it's going to be.
Yep. Well, I got to have time to make popcorn and get comfortable on the couch for the Festival of Lies.
That's true. That's a good one. That's true. And I've got to be bored out of my tray or, like I said earlier, get ready to throw something at the TV because I'm going to be so angry at the lies being spewed.
Well, good luck, everybody. State of the Onion coming up in about 30 minutes. But with that, Diane, it's time for you and I to sign off.
Nighty night, folks.
Good night, everybody. Have a great rest of the week. We'll catch up with you on Friday.